Wild Tales is sponsored by Cotswold Outdoor. When we're out in the elements, we're in our element. And outside retail expert Cotswold Outdoor is helping more of us to get out with the right kit. Thanks also to their support, the National Trust is helping walking communities to access the UK's outside spaces. And we're working to fix 15,000 kilometres of paths and trails by 2030 for everyone to enjoy. Find your element with Cotswold Outdoor.
You can get connected with individuals quite easily because they're very apparent in the landscape. You know, when you watch other birds, you don't necessarily know that's the same individual that you saw yesterday. Whereas with eagles, you know which individual it is. And for me personally, I've known all these birds throughout their lives. So every time I see them, it is quite special.
One of the most majestic birds ever to grace our skies is making a comeback. The white-tailed eagle, or sea eagle as they're also known, became extinct in the UK in the early 20th century. Where I'm visiting in the south of England today, the Isle of Wight, lost them even earlier than that, but it's now possible you might spot them. I'm Ranger Rosie Holdsworth. Welcome to the wild tale of the return of the eagle. I've just popped up to Culver Down, which is the last place on the Isle of Wight that white-tailed sea eagles were recorded nesting way back in 1780. We're right on the top of the cliff and I can see why they were here. It is an amazing place to be an eagle. It's got fantastic 360 views over the sea, lots of fishing opportunities, some very steep cliffs with, I'm sure, lots of craggy nesting opportunities. While there are no eagles nesting here today, it is now possible to spot the bird on the island and beyond. So tomorrow I'm really looking forward to, because we're going to meet someone who's part of a team which is working on a white-tailed eagle reintroduction project on the Isle of Wight, and I'm hopeful that we might even see some eagles ourselves, so it could be a very, very exciting day tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to it. And so, after a night's sleep and a short drive to the other side of the island, I'm ready to go. Good morning, you must be Steve.
Hi Rosie, really nice to meet you. How are you?
Lovely, yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Steve, or Steve the Eagle Man, as he's known in these parts, is Steve Egerton Reed, the White-tailed Eagle Project Officer for Forestry England. So Steve, where have you brought me and where are we going to go?
Well, I've brought you to wonderful Newtown National Nature Reserve, and Newtown itself is a really interesting place. It used to be one of the biggest towns, most important towns here on the Isle of Wight, but now it's one of the most important nature reserves on the Isle of Wight.
We're wandering through an amazing meadow and down towards the salt marsh, and I can see the salt marsh out in front of me with some boats sitting in the mud in the salt marsh and a boardwalk out across the marsh. So I'm assuming, is that where we're heading?
We're heading out into the marsh. We can see the wonderful Isle of Wight coast, and we can even see the new forest in the distance, can't we?
There we go, what a view.
Have you seen an eagle before, Rosie?
I have.
Fantastic.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things that are really striking about them. So this is a bird that's got an enormous wingspan at 2.5 metres, beautiful bright white tail, but it's also got this big heavy yellow bill and this kind of blondy grey look. But here we are on the Isle of Wight. This is the last place that the birds bred here in southern England, all the way back in 1780. I think you've been to Culver Cliff where the last pair supposedly bred.
Yeah, I was up there yesterday, yeah.
And really, the story for white-tailed eagles is quite sad right way up to the early 20th century when the bird became extinct as a whole in the UK.
White-tailed eagles were once widespread across the country. It's thought there were as many as 1,000 to 1,400 pairs in 500 AD. But through the Middle Ages, they suffered persecution and numbers declined drastically. By the late 18th century, there were only a few breeding pairs remaining in the UK. They disappeared from the Isle of Wight, from Culver Cliff, in 1780, and then the last known breeding pair in England was thought to have been on the Isle of Man in 1815. They hung on in Scotland for another 100 years. And it was in Scotland that a white-tailed eagle reintroduction programme was launched in 1975. There are now 150 to 180 pairs of eagles there. But the bird is still listed as a bird of conservation concern, making it one of the UK's rarest species.
So as we walk out onto the salt marsh, where is the best place for us to start to scan and look for eagles?
This is a bird that spends about 90% of the day perched up. It doesn't necessarily have to sit in a tree, it can sit on a post, it can sit on the ground even. Imagine yourself as an eagle for a minute, Rosie. Like, where would you sit if you wanted a really good view? And then, you know, it's always a good idea to have a little look in the sky. Now, you could get lucky and one just fly over. I'm just having a quick scan for you.
Oh, there is something pretty big in the top of a...
Oh, yeah. So it looks there's a buzzard at the top
of that
bush there. There's a phrase that everyone always says, though, if you think you've seen an eagle and you're not sure, you probably haven't. I don't see anything just yet. But we shouldn't give up hope too early.
Should we head out over the boardwalk and onto the salt marsh?
Yeah, let's do that, Rosie. Let's try and give you as best a chance of seeing an eagle as we can.
So, an eagle reintroduction project sounds really exciting, but I know from experience how these things can be quite laborious and quite involved. What are the mechanics of trying to reintroduce a species like that?
So, white-tailed eagles, they hatch usually sometime in April or May. We collect these young birds that are around 7 weeks old, from nests, wild nests in Scotland.
All the birds come from twins or triplets. It's part of the licence condition with Nature Scot that at least one must be left behind. That allows Forestry England, working alongside the Roy Dennis Foundation, to take the birds from wild nests. Taking them at 7 weeks old is crucial.
We want them to be as independent as possible of their parents,
yeah.
So they don't require any hand rearing or any, you know, intensive care. They're pretty much fully grown. They just haven't quite developed the power of flight.
In fact, their very first flight is a bit of a VIP trip down to the Isle of Wight.
It's in a little Cessna coming down from Inverness to Bembridge Airfield.
In their own private jet.
On a little private plane, yeah.
Then, over the next 6 weeks, the birds are fed mainly on fish, conger eel, rabbit and Canada goose in preparation for being released.
They get a real smorgasbord, if you like, for the 6 weeks that are with us. And they grow really fast. We get checked by a vet just prior to release, and then we fit GPS devices.
The project aims to establish 60 breeding pairs that will spread out across the south coast of England, and Steve is 37 pairs in.
So these birds take a long time to reach breeding maturity, sort of talking 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And in that sort of interim period, they kind of go all over the place. So these GPS devices, you imagine your mobile phone, they're a little bit smaller than that. They weigh about 50 grams and they fit on the bird like a rucksack. So there's a harness.
Okay.
So
yeah.
We stitch the harness together. We don't stitch it onto the bird, but the harness stitches together. And at some point, the harness will fall apart and the device will fall off the bird. But these devices are so incredible. They're these really natty things. They've got a little mobile phone SIM card in them and it gives you real power in understanding what the birds are doing in the landscape.
Yeah, yeah.
So to give you an essence of that, like if I wanted to, I could send a message to a bird now and say, or device rather than bird. It's not going to write back. It's not going to write back though. And say, yeah, I want the device to log points every second and I want it to transmit to me every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And what that allows us to do, of course, is understand where the key landscapes are and we can go and stand in a field and we can monitor them for long periods of time.
So if you can track them with the GPS harnesses, have you tracked them leaving the Isle of Wight?
Pretty much all of them leave the Isle of Wight at some point in their lives. So young white-tailed eagles, you know, really from sort of ages 1, 2, 3, they're really nomadic. Perhaps the most remarkable set of journeys comes from a pair now that are established in Poole Harbour. The male bird is a bird called G463. autumn, he made an exploration down to Cornwall, Land's End, sort of mini autumn holiday, I guess. And then he settled South Somerset for the rest of the winter. But then come the spring, he went on this epic exploration up into East Anglia. And then later that spring, became the first of the birds that we released to cross the English Channel. Made this epic journey through France, Belgium, the Netherlands, and into Denmark. You think, is he going to come back? And he did. And the following year, he went back to all the same places he'd visited the year before. He'd created a memory map of where he was. You know, remember the key points in the landscape, you know, down to the same trees, he was roosting the same trees. But he did come back. This behaviour is really important, and that's why part of the reason the translocation works is this natal phylopatry, we call it. So the birds want to come back to where they regard home to be.
Okay.
And for them, the Solent Shore and the surrounding wetlands, you know, Poole Harbour, Chichester Harbour, and even the freshwater wetlands in the land, that's home. But yeah, regardless of where they go, they all try to come back to sort of within 50, 60 kilometres of us here on the Isle of Wight. And really, that's what we want them to do, of course, because we want to try and establish a breeding population here on the south coast of England. And we hope, sort of within, you know, 10 years of starting the project, we'll establish somewhere between 6 to 10 pairs of eagles within 50 to 60 kilometres of the other way from that initial translocated population. Yeah. And at that point, the population will be self-sustaining.
Yeah. Brilliant. Do they have territories? So at some point, will there be so many eagles on the Isle of Wight and surrounds that there's not, they need to push out into other areas? Is that kind of part of the idea?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, like, yeah, white-tailed eagles are really territorial. So, you know, this is an apex avian predator. So it's right at the top of the avian food chain, and it has really massive territories. So you're looking at 10 to 30 square kilometres.
Wow. So, Steve, should we wander a little bit further out onto the salt marsh?
Oh, well, yeah, sure. We'll see what we can see.
One of Steve's jobs as project officer is to work with the farming community on the Isle of Wight and respond to any local issues or concerns. While in Scotland, evidence indicates some white-tailed eagles scavenge dead lambs and very occasionally take small or weak black-faced sheep, this has been found to be due to the open-range nature of agriculture, bad weather and lack of alternative wild prey. But the team take concerns from farmers and livestock managers seriously and have worked with researchers in the Netherlands and Ireland, where there have been successful reintroduction programmes and no cases of eagles taking lambs or any other livestock.
So as we go, I have to ask, you mentioned that eagles are obviously a top apex predator. With a reintroduction like this, was there ever any worry that they might eat some of the things that maybe people don't want them to eat, like domestic livestock, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of concerns at the outset of the project from livestock farmers. There was concerns from conservation managers. You know, there were concerns about the types of birds they might eat,
yeah,
or some of the other things that they might impact on a landscape scale. And of course, you know, there's also potentially worries from game or fisheries. But to date, we've had no conflict at all. That doesn't mean to say that we, you know, sitting back and resting on laurels. We meet a couple of times a year and we chat about how the birds are doing and about the project more broadly. And it's an opportunity for anybody to raise any worries that they might have. And alongside that, we do a whole host of really proactive engagements with landowners, with land users and conservation groups too. So we feel things are going really positively, and broadly speaking, most people are really, really positive and excited about the project. So we suppose we better stop here and have another little scan, eh?
Yeah. The tide's pretty much fully out, and it's a great place. Out on the salt marsh here, we're kind of surrounded by the wetland, so it's a great place to be scanning and looking for eagles. So, Steve, you can't do a job like yours without being really passionate about it. What is it about eagles that kind of gets you up in the morning and keeps you motivated.
The more you watch them, the more interesting you find them as well. And you can get connected with individuals quite easily because they're very apparent in the landscape. You know, when you watch other birds, I enjoy watching all birds. I think they're fantastic, but you don't necessarily know that's the same individual that you saw yesterday. Whereas with eagles, you know which individual it is. And for me personally, you know, I've known all these birds throughout their lives, and that's so every time I see them, it is quite special.
But it's not just Steve who enjoys the eagles being back on the island.
But there's lots of people that perhaps didn't necessarily have an intimate connection with nature before who are now thinking, actually, it's really cool and white-tailed eagles are really amazing. And white-tailed eagles did once have a really deep cultural value to us. The Iron Age and the Roman period, these birds are really highly revered and highly, you know, had high spiritual value. Return of this bird has kind of put white-tailed eagle back in that cultural spotlight. And we have works of art that are going around. So I think there was one Christmas where somebody made this beautiful Christmas card with a white-tailed eagle and a Santa sleigh in the background over the needles. It was fantastic. Seriously put in the spotlight by this fantastic mural that you can go and see on the Columbine building in East Cowes. And it's like 12 metres high and about 60 metres long, I think. And the centrepiece of his artwork is this huge white-tailed eagle.
Amazing.
In this Art Deco style. It's absolutely beautiful. It's really becoming part of the Isle of Wight's cultural identity. And you know, we're really proud here on the Isle of Wight, I feel, and that we're the place that it started again, where this resurgence of this bird in southern England, this is where it happened, and we're part of that story.
Just having one last scan out across this incredible salt marsh. There are a few distracting looking cormorants sitting on the tops of posts, but no eagles. Should we start wandering back inland?
I suppose we should.
So the whole aim of the project is to re-establish a breeding population in the south of England. The million-dollar question: have the eagles bred?
Yes. So in 2023, we were really lucky in that the first pair of eagles bred on the south coast of England in 240 odd years.
Amazing.
So it was a really surprising sort of event because the pair were really young. So it was a pair of birds that were released in 2020. And you'll remember, of course, I said to you earlier, these birds don't breed till they're about four or five normally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So these birds were three. And they bred at 3 years old. And they raised a single chick, a male called G625. And then last year, 2024, they bred again. And they had two, they're twins. So
oh, amazing.
A really fantastic moment. You want that early success. And then when you get it, it's very, very satisfying.
Yeah, and on a kind of, on a personal level, did you feel emotional when they fledged chicks?
I mean, it was one of those weird things. It just feels so surreal. You don't really believe it's happening, in truth. It's strange because 2023, at that period, you know, the birds incubate for about 38 days and then the chicks are in the nest for another 11 weeks. It felt like an age.
Yeah,
like every moment
really
you
stressful.
Thought, oh my God, like, yeah. it's not happening. It's going to go wrong. You worry about things and time seems to go really slowly. And then last year, you know, sort of blink and you miss it.
Right.
It's like, they've done it, they've been there before, it's okay. Like, but of course, there's a long way to go.
Yeah.
Before we can say the bird's secure in southern England. Time will tell, right?
Fingers crossed.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Wild Tales. If you liked it, why not give us a like or a follow? We'll be back soon with another episode in a couple of weeks, but if you can't wait that long, why not check out our other nature podcast, Nature Fix? Or, if you like your history too, there's Back When. I'll see you next time. Wild Tales is sponsored by Cotswold Outdoor, your outside retailer and epic guides to adventure. Quick breathers, calming walks, or heart-pounding hikes. We feel better when we get out more. Find quality kit and 50 years of outdoor wisdom. Plus, National Trust supporters get 15% off walking kit in-store and online. Feel in your element, in the elements, at cotswoldoutdoor.com.